We're at the beginning of this Torah, this Mayim, of this whole universe of Ma'aseh Merkava, Ma'aseh Bereishis, Ma'aseh Merkava. The high waters, the low waters, the year Tafresh, 1840. V'molar is Deyas Hashem Kemayim L'yam Mechasim. Torah and Ma'aseh Bereishis and science are not enemies. They're like long lost lovers that are looking for each other. Over all of the centuries, there was that rakia that Hashem Yisbarach made to separate between the higher waters and lower waters. And our job through time has been to try to get back together, to bring the higher waters to the Chachmi love, that higher wisdom of Torah, to be joined together with the lower wisdom of this world of man's innovations and creativity, man's Torah Shebal Peh, and creativity when it comes to Ma'aseh Bereishis of this world of science and so on. And what Rav Kook is teaching us, and what this Maimer is about, is how Kabbalah, Pnimis HaTorah, Chochmas HaNister, is the Ma'avar between Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, meaning that with Chochma Hanisteris, we're able to cross over into that world where these two are brought back together. We're able to access that unified system of Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, of the lower waters and the higher waters. And what we were learning last week, and we'll resume with, I don't want to say the word Zoom. We'll start with again, is that unlike the other Chachamim, Talmidei Chachamim of the time, and even of our time right now in Tavshin Pei in 2020, who saw the need to run away from Ma'aseh Bereishis, to run away from anything beyond admiring the scenery, but not to enter into the world of science and so on, because they saw it as the enemy of Yiddishkeit. Rav Kook is explaining to us that scientific inquiry and a scientific way of thinking that began in earnest in Tafresh in 1840 is a Pesach also leading from the higher, lower waters to the higher waters. Because for the first time in history, man is believing that there is a world that he can't see with his eyes. There's mamash a world that one can't see with one's eyes. There's a metzias, a beautiful, deep, amazing, complicated metzias that we never saw. This way of thinking is a Pesach to that wall that seems to be between above and below. And Rav Kook was certainly aware of phony science and of the danger of mistaken conclusions that scientists are always coming to. But scientific inquiry and that longing to understand Ma'aseh Bereishis, to understand the world, and the realization that there is some great mysterious unifying force, that all of the physical world is moved by, and that everything is somehow traced back to one Nakuda, which we understand as the Chomer Hiyuli of creation, which is Hashem. That beginning from Ein Sof, from the Ayin into Yesh, from Ayin into Yesh. The sin of continuing on with the separation between these two worlds as we learned, is the sin of what happened, what went wrong with the four who went into the paradise. Rabbi Akiva warned them, Al Tomu Mayim Mayim. Be careful when you come to the Avnei Shayish, Tahar, when you come to that place between Ayin and Yesh, be careful, don't say Mayim Mayim. Don't say that there are two separate waters above and below. It's one ocean of Hashem's reality, above and below. So what we're learning from Rav Kook is that there's a deep, deep, deep relationship between science and Kabbalah. A deep relationship between science and Kabbalah. Now, there are very few tzaddikim who have ventured into that unknown terrain. I mentioned last year, 2 years ago, that in our generation, without a question, the person who has the tzaddik, the Talmud Chacham, who has worked throughout his entire life to bring those two worlds together is Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, the great Mashpia from Chabad. There's no question. Hands down, he's the person who's been working on this. There are others, but there's no question that it's Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg leads the world in this Avaida that Rav Kook was talking about. And there are others. It's happening. It's part of the revolution. We have a tendency to move slowly, but it's happening. Together with the unbelievable drive to learn Pnimius HaTorah and to understand the invisible world, the unseen world of the Resha Delos Yada, of the unknowable beginning of all and the creator of all, through Pnimius HaTorah, through studying Pnimius HaTorah, and to be able to feel in a concrete way and to know in a real way that unseeable presence. All of science since Tafresh, since 1840, all of science, the lower wisdom, is seeking to come into contact with that which is unseeable and unknowable. But to make contact with that which is unknowable. That's what Rav Kook is explaining. So we have the parish of Rav Aviner, who's also such a person. This is Malacha. But the mila that Rav Ginzburg has over everybody is that he's a big scientist. The Lubavitch Rebbe was, of course, this Indian, the Lubavitch Rebbe, also was totally not understood. And Bechlal, his brilliance as a scientist, was seen as something that people would say at best, okay, the Rebbe, even though he knows science, he's still a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham. But the Rebbe wasn't, there was no creases, there were no tears. It's the Artzeit Gimel Talmud Chevetz coming up Thursday. There were no tears, there were no creases by the Rebbe. To the Rebbe, this was one world. It was one world. It was the world of Ein Oid Milvado. It was only God. And he too, the Rebbe also understood. Because he was such a Baki in Torah, and such a Baki in Kabbalah, and such a Baki in science. He understood that the call of our generation is to bring together those two worlds, the Chassan and Kala, the two brothers, to bring them back together. But like all great tzaddikim, like Rav Kook and Lubavitcher Rebbe and others like that, they're surrounded, and all of us are surrounded, and we ourselves are a bunch of kleine kapalach, small-minded people. So, as I said, when we start to learn this Torah, that I'm afraid to learn it because I don't know. First of all, I don't know science. And I'm afraid to go through it because I don't know if it's going to be said over properly and how much it's going to be misunderstood. I have found over the years that even if I just say good morning, it's misunderstood. So I don't know how badly this is going to be misunderstood. And I don't want to misrepresent what Rav Kook is saying. So everything that I'm trying to explain to Rav Kook, that's why I'm relying here on the help of Rav Aviner, because this way maybe we could blame it on him if there's a misunderstanding, not on me. Because it's hard to explain. Kishakol HaTnuos, that's where we're up to. We just read the last paragraph. We're at the bottom of the page of Rav Aviner. If you don't have it, you can get it. If you know what buttons to press on this thing, you could probably get it in a second. But we learned that Rav Kook was saying, Hanistahem Dvarim, Rav Avinei was explaining, Hanistahem Dvarim She'enim Bariya Dvarim Ketan. That was the last thing called that we were learning. That Nista, science is now Isaac and Nista, and Kabbalah is Isaac and Nista. I'm not going to say the word Lahavdil, because we're trying to say not Lahavdil. Science and Kabbalah are both determined to uncover what is Nista, what is hidden. That's what they share in common. Therefore, it must be that these two limudim of Pnimis HaTorah and of science, these two limudim, more than any other limudim in the world, are going to bring us to that Gan Eden, Mikedem. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about. So he says, the last sentence on the pages of Cook's words, Kol atnuas halolia, kol kach mas imos hain, lematoris habinyin hagomer b'shechlulo. All of these movements of science, of this chakira hamadois, all of this great movement and progress in scientific inquiry, are matimot, mas imos lematoris habinyin hagomer b'shechlulo, are completely befitting, stim, completely with the objective of the complete perfected binyan of kirvas elokim, of learning Torah, of being close to Hashem, of perfecting this world and greeting Mashiach Tzidkenu. There's no stira. Anybody who says there's a stira is guilty of mayim mayim. Push it. Mayim mayim is guilty of saying mayim mayim. That the waters are separate. The higher waters and lower waters are separate. And on the next page, Hamavar Me'atohu Vavohu Lefnei HaYetzira HaGemura El HaBinyin HaGomer B'Shechlulo The Ma'avar. The transition from that primal state of tohu and vohu that was from before creation of the world as we know it, El Abinyan Hagomer B'Shechlulo, to the completion and perfection of the building of God's world, the ma'avar, the bridge that crosses over from before creation to Mashiach, that bridge. Hamavar b'mashiyesh lefnei chomer, the crossing over from what was before there was physical matter, el chomer, to the world of physical matter, that crossing over from ayin to yesh, hu koshi gadol. That's a tough bridge to cross. All of the mukubalim, that's what they were Isaac in. All of Kabbalah's Isaac in this Indian, of how did that happen? That from Ayin, there's Yesh. How did the infinite become finite? That's all we're learning when we're learning Kabbalah. How did the infinite become finite? And once he did that, how do we communicate with the infinite? In other words, since there's a crossing over from the infinite to the finite, where's the bridge? How do you walk? How do you get there? How do you get from finite to infinite? Since infinite came to finite, how do you get from finite to infinite? That's all of Kabbalah. Now, that wasn't science in the old days, but beginning in Tafresh, that's science also. Because in the earlier years, science never, there was no such thing as anything infinite. Forget the scientists who all excommunicated by the church. The church is the language of Ayin. I mean, in their distorted Tuma, but they're talking about the infinite. And the scientists in those years, the early years, were talking about the finite. And there's no bridge because there's no such thing. That world doesn't exist, and this world is evil. Beginning with Tafresh. the separation between above and below was ripped away, the rakia. All of a sudden, there's unbelievable information that's becoming available, that's becoming part of our lives, from the Baal Shem, the Talmidei Baal Shem, the Talmidei Agra, the Rashash, the Ramchal. All of a sudden, Hamoin Am are speaking the language of the infinite, not just, you know, in the whole world like a minion of tzaddikim, but the Olam is talking about the infinite, and is beginning their walk on that bridge to the infinite. And in the secular world, the scientists are talking the language of quantum theory. They're talking the language of a unified principle of the universe, of the unified principle of existence. In other words, they're also on the bridge. That's what Rav Avinu is explaining. So, Ketzad Oivim Mahalochomri Alochomri. All of Kabbalah is, how do you cross over from that which is not physical to that which is physical? Gam Hamada Toen Kach. That's what science is about. That's what modern science is also trying to figure out. Bim Yuchad Bischus Einstein. And particularly, Mamish began to move fast. It began to accelerate when that Jew, Einstein, when he began to think. Hiskanu kvar, kimakas hamobis, the materialism, hamadai, nitna aide Einstein. Einstein was the makas hamobis. He put to rest, or he killed, the science of materialism. He put it to rest. Ever since Einstein, the Olam is trying to figure out what they can't see. And not only that, but they're trying to get back to the point where everything began. And the scientists believe that there is one underlying force or energy behind creation and all of existence. So they're trying to get there. Einstein put an end to the other way of thinking. And that's why he also caused a big tumult. And the scientists wanted to put him in Cheirim. He was rejected and pushed away like that. They were frightened by what he was talking about. Here you have a scientist, by all accounts, smarter than all the rest of them. And he's speaking the language of Emunah, of Elokus. Not in the language that you and I speak, not saying Maida'ani and Ashrei, but the language was the language of Ayin, not the language of Yesh. Now, they don't want to hear that stuff. Hollywood doesn't want any of that stuff, you understand? The media doesn't want any of that stuff. The communists didn't want to hear that. The Democrats are fighting a war against religion as well. Schools can't be open, but bars can be open. You could have 25,000 people protesting, screaming and yelling, knocking into each other, holding hands, whatever they're doing. I mean, that's not dangerous, but there's a sakana. If there's a sakana, if a couple of yidnas standing together in a Beis HaMedrash. Whether it is or it isn't, I don't know if it's a sakana or it's not a sakana. I'm not talking about that. Because I don't know science. I'm not. The scientists also don't know anything. They're just talking here and there. It could be Khalil. It is. I don't know. But one thing I know is that there's a kasha, why is it that the Jewish sleepaway camps can't open up? But they're going to be in the inner cities of Detroit, New York, and so on. There are going to be millions of kids coming from all different homes where there's no social distancing, and everybody's coming together in the day camps all around the cities. But you can't have the sleepaway camps, which you all know 90% of them are owned by Jews. You can't have the sleepaway camp. I'm not saying it's an anti-Semitic gezeira. I'm cautious that something is there. But you can't have Jews going away. Kids can't go away where they're going to be quarantined for 2 weeks and no visitors from outside. Finally, the end of visiting day. Rabbi, you say, you hear this? It could be the end of visiting day. No visitors from outside. No trips to the outside. So that means we don't have to have any kids falling off of roller coasters and drowning in some whirlpool someplace. So we're going to have a sleepaway camp where everybody's there in the same place for 2 months, the same people. This is awesome. This is awesome. And then they call that science. This is awesome. But the day camp and the protests, it's not only it's mutter, but it's a mitzvah, and if you don't go, you're a racist. They're going to be in 2 weeks, it's going to be 95 degrees. There are going to be millions of inner city kids all over America that are together with each other, and they're going back to homes where every single night, the kid's mother has a different man coming over for the night. Do I have to say that any clearer? There's another one that's coming over every single night. The boy's father is a nanu. So every single night, there's another guest that's coming. There's another Hachnas Zarchim. Every night, it's Givaldig. It's like Lahab, like Rav Shaila Kerestir there. Every single night, there is a Hachnas Zarchim. Every night, there's Hachnas Zarchim. They're going to try to shut us down after this. The Zoom is going to be shut down. Every night, there's a Hachnas Zarchim in these kids' homes. And this is mutter. And not only is it mutter, they're going to take money away from the police and they're going to give money over to help these kids. I have nothing against these kids having a good time, by the way. I want them to have a good time. It's good that they should be away from the streets and away from the tumor that they have to see in their lives and get them someplace to play some ball and have a good time. That's a good thing. But every night is Hachnas Zarchim. And then they're coming back the next morning. They walk into camp. Matoivu Alecha Yaakov. Every single one of these kids is going to come into camp. Matoivu Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Esach. And they're going to come in with this machla and that machla. Kol machla shanti mitzray. And this is not only is it mutter, but this is a mitzvah. But the sleepaway camps, where you're going to have a couple of visionesses, kids sitting over there, that they never walked 4 amos away from mommy and daddy. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. To open up the business at camp is dangerous. To have 35,000 Satmar kids coming, this is a sakana to the, and the government is worried about what's going to happen to these poor Jewish children if they're going to be in camp. Am I the only one that has this kasha? I don't know. I think it's a good kasha. I don't know how I got to that. Hamada Nase Mufshat. Let's go back inside. Hamada Nase Mufshat. Science has now become Mufshat. Science has become abstract. Materialism is gone. Now the world is divided between people, Wachazerim, and people are looking for God. That's the world now. You either have people on Meshuga, they spend the whole lives fressing and eating and movies and this world, Meshuggah of this world, but the other half of the world is just trying to find God. Jews are non-Jews, I'm talking about, not just Jews. Either if you're fasting on this world and all you do is you believe in this world, or you're trying to find out what the other world is like. Those are the two kinds of people you have now. Of course, I'm making a very big chilek. There are very different degrees of each one and each Beis HaMedrash, the different madrigas. Oh, I know where I got to it. I was saying how the Democrats are against religion. That's how it started. Not every Democrat. Some of them go to shul and some of them go to church. Lahavdil. But be'etzem, the inyan of emuna, is something which, if you remember some of the statements of the Mahashefa that was running for president, and what she was saying about religion. What she said, the last president, Robinson, the one from before, his rebbetzin, what she was saying about religion, and bichlal, the things that have been coming from the progressive liberals. I'm not talking about from the every Democrat, but from the real progressive liberals, that chevra of the real left wingers. They're afraid of ayin, very afraid of emunah. Emunah puts them totally out of business. On so many levels, it puts them out of business. The conservative chevra, their inyan is emunah, for the most part. Their inyan is emunah. This came down to an unbelievable machlokes at the end of time. In the Geisha Welt, I'm saying, not in the Jewish, in the Geisha Welt, there's an unbelievable machlokes here in America. Because in America, everybody can talk about what they want to talk about because it's an amazing place where you can say what you want. And here you can do what you want, you can say what you want. But it's not Olam Hafuch Mamash, what's happening. The liberals, the progressives, they want to keep above and below separate. So they say, the churchgoers, the shulgoers, it's very sweet, we respect you, it's very, very nice. Don't bother us. Stay in that world. But those of you, me, la Baal, Eli, the progressives are saying, whoever worships Baal, and letting loose with every single disgusting taiva in the world, join us. And everything is mutter. Everything is mutter because there is no connection between above and below. There's no connection between heaven and earth. There's only what you can see. And therefore, every single mushkas, every single maturif that comes along and says that this is something which I enjoy, and I have 10 other people that I enjoy, that enjoy this together with me, they now became like a movement, or they became a philosophy of life, or they became a new ideology of life. Every single mushkas and maturif can make any ideology of life. And then the progressives sit there and they say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Not only that, but it happens that I also am like that, and my children are also like that, and we're all joining you. That's what we're living in now. Hamada nase mufshat. Science has become abstract. Hatfisa haravachis b'madahi ki abilti chomri hu hayisoid l'chami amuchash. The accepted view in science now is that which is not physical is the yisod of that which is physical. In other words, that yesh comes from ayin. The physical comes from the non-physical. They don't know what words to use because it's not in the vocabulary of science. But if you read this stuff, and I just dabbled in it, it's they're trying to figure out how to say ayin without talking about God, but it's ayin. They don't want, the scientists are also afraid to take out the tefillin, you know, from the bar mitzvah. They're also nervous about the tefillin. They also put their tefillin, they locked up their tefillin someplace. So they're nervous about saying the word tefillin, or tzitzis, or saying Hashem. So like when they're using now, where millions of people's lives have been changed, have been helped, let's say, with the 12 steps. But that mahalach of 12 steps. There's so many people's lives have been helped. Now, there's certain inyanim of tumah in that as well. I'm not saying that everything there is kosher. But it's better than other stuff, and they've been saving millions and millions of people's lives, the 12 steps, for all kinds of addictions and problems, right? So they have to be careful not to say the word Hashem. And if you're familiar with it, they have like a little Tanakh, which I read, they're like their Bible. If you read it, how they speak about that energy and that power, they're careful not to insult any religion, but they're all speaking about Ayin. What is psychology? What is psychology? What does that mean? What is psychiatry? What does it mean that this person's nervous and he takes something physical and he's not nervous? How does that work? How do you cross over from yesh to ayin? In other words, this guy has a little pill, and the doctor, the psychiatrist told him he's got to take 50 milligram of this thing twice a day, whatever it is, once a day before you go to sleep, take this little piece of chalk. Take this piece of chalk or take this capsule. It's a piece of yeshus. Take this piece of yeshus. Take it twice a day. and you're going to be happy. You're going to stop yelling at your wife. You stop beating your kids up. You're not going to lose your job. How did that happen? How did that cross over from a piece of chalk to a mood, to a feeling, to a thought? How does that happen? David, you remember we were once laughing about Amnon Yitzchak's thing with how the little monkey became. How did that happen? That, you know, like that famous picture, like you have this monkey, or even less than the monkey, walking around, and it shows monkey over evolution. The monkey eventually became like a guy with a briefcase and a. Well, it's not with the briefcase. He was like, "Echze, pitom, yeshlanu erchdin, olechem tikacha, echze ya." How did it happen that you got from a monkey, you got some guy walking, some lawyer walking with a briefcase? How did that happen? How did you get from a monkey to Einstein? So in the cartoon, in the diagram, they show that when we were kids in the biology book, they had that. They had the monkey. First, he's the human being is like a monkey, like mamish. And then you see Tzibislach, he's going like Tzibislach. They say 5 million years, and he's like this, 10 million years. And then all of a sudden, after all of that, at the end of that, then you got some guy like with a necktie, and he's walking with his briefcase. How'd that happen? So there's an Indian of evolution. Rav Kook believes in evolution, not the evolution of Darwin. Hitpatchut, we're going to come to it eventually. According to the speed we're going at, it's going to be like 5 million years. But Hitpatchut, Hispaschus, evolution, evolutia, but not what Darwin is talking about, not survival of the fittest, of the species. Because that's when evolution, the whole belief in evolution started at that same time. That's evolution. So evolution is trying to solve this problem. How do you get from a monkey to the rugged child? How do you do that? Anybody try to do that? Most of us are trying to get our kids to go from getting B's to getting A-. And they're just making the biology book a cartoon that monkey became the rugged child. It's an amazing thing. So everybody now is trying to understand that there must be a way to cross over that bridge. So evolution, so Darwin had this hamtza'ah, and there's of course nekudas of truth in it, which Rav Kook, more than anybody else, picked up on. But all this was happening at that time, same time, middle of the 19th century, Tafresh and on, that there must be a ma'avar from a monkey to the ragachav. There must be some kind of a ma'avar. How does that happen? One day is swinging on a tree, and the next day you have the rugged show. How did that happen? It's the same question. So until Tafresh, everybody's trying to explain these things, that there's some physical development of some sort. That things biologically, and even afterwards, Darwin, physically, organically, physically, there's some sort of progress that takes place. It doesn't stem. It doesn't work. All serious scientists nowadays have completely declassified and thrown out pure Darwinism. Pure Darwinism is already gelechte, because now there's an understanding that there was a crossing over from Ayin to Yesh, and we don't know how that happened. So we're trying to understand how did that happen. It didn't go like that. How did it happen? Because the universe, the solar system, was a bigger monkey than the monkey in the cartoon. Now how did it become the universe? What happened? So there was a bang, there was an explosion. Boom. Abracadabra. It's magic. Abracadabra. Hashem spoke and he created. That's what we learned. That's what abracadabra means. Abracadabra. Hashem created with speech, with words. The 10 mamaros of creation. So here is the, with the year to 1840, is the beginning of that reconciliation between heaven and earth, between Ma'aseh Merkava and Ma'aseh Bereishis, between the Chasan and Kala, Chochma Ilah and Chochma Tata. The bridge is Kabbalah, because it's Torah, but it's Torah from the highest place, from Ayin, because all of Nigla is talking about only Yesh. This is Ayin. Kabbalah is the Torah of Ayin. The Shtalshulus, the crossing over. And science is the Chochmat HaTorah, the lower wisdom, that's trying to ascend to that place of Ayin, and is now convinced that there is some mysterious Ayin that's the yesod of all that exists. So Rav Kook says, now these are Rav Kook's words, Haleches bazeh chochmas maise bereishis liyos yosef yosef chochma gluya. So since then, since 1840, Tafresh, Chochmas Ma'aseh Bereishis is becoming a Chochma that's more and more revealed to us, more known to us, more open to us. So Rav Avinir explains, Chochmas Asod Nasis Chochma Gluya Kashi Hinasis Muvenis. When a person on this, something is a secret, like the Yoshe Devir Emes I've quoted many times, the Yoshe Devir Emes, when he says that people talk of Kabbalah as being sod, right? We see that the word sod is a secret. So the Yoshe Devir Emes says that for people who are not, for people Amaratzim, a Blad Gemara is also sod. It's also sod. You can have a Pasuk Chumash Rashi is sod. Hashem made Chochmas Kabbalah available to us, and our job is to understand it, to learn it to the best of our ability. And therefore, it's no longer sod. Once it's a chochma gluya kashi nasi, the reason that even the mekubalim call it sod is because ultimately there are sodas that we can't know. But the truth is that once you understand this secret, it's no longer a secret, it's a secret. The dogma, for instance, Adam she'eino ma'ashen, a person who doesn't smoke. Ishun ha-sigariya hu soid b'shvilo. For somebody who never smoked a cigarette, smoking is a soid. Like, what pleasure does that give you? So if you're a non-smoker and you see somebody that's smoking, and not only that, but they can't stop smoking, you're wondering, what does that do for you? Afim yasbiru lo zayis. And even if the smoker tries to explain to the non-smoker what this inyan is that it gives him, smoking is not part of the experiences of the non-smoker. Through the study of Kabbalah and through the study of science, Ma'aseh Bereishis becomes more known. It's not a sod anymore. There are many, many things that are no longer sodas. Because of learning Pnimis HaTorah and because of studying science. It's not a side. It's not a secret. There's going to come a time, hopefully to be very, very soon, where COVID-19 is not going to be a sod. Right now it's a secret. It's not really a secret, it's just that we don't know it. We don't understand it, but it's not that it can't be known. It's going to be known, and it's not going to be a secret anymore. And then we can say, oh, that's what it was. So now we could already have a mahalach in it. And then it'll become like, you know, things from the past that we're going to tell our grandchildren. All the survivors are going to tell their grandchildren that once upon a time, back in Tavshin Pei, there was a maaseh with COVID-19. I was reading, my wife showed me something that came from the Times of Israel. There's some kind of a website called Times of Israel. I don't know if they have an actual newspaper that you could read, but there's a thing on And there was an article on this thing, Times of Israel, how there's some big scientist in Eretz Yisrael who I don't know if it was a lecturer, he wrote an article about, based upon what he sees now in the world, this is not finished at all, Bechlal not finished, and that he estimates that over the next 2 years, 3 years, there are going to be 50 chalila, 50 million, 100 million people dying. Based upon what he's looking at now. And he's one of the most choshva experts in this chachma of infections in Eretz Yisrael, which mistama means he's one of the most choshva in the world. So I don't know what his credentials are. He said that he hasn't been part of the decision making. There's no mitzvah to spread. I don't know why the Times of Israel decided this would be a good thing to give over. But the Rosh Hashanah fears the Welt. And I believe that soon there's going to be some discovery where everybody's going to see, oh, that's the Indian. And they're going to say that every single person has to have a shot glass of vodka every day, and that's the cure for COVID-19. That's probably what it's going to end up being. If you have a little bit of vodka every day, a little bit of shot glass of vodka, I don't drink, but if you have a little bit of shot glass, you make a l'chaim. Somebody found out, and Eretz Yisrael, who's a scientist, is going to find out that the cure of corona is having one shot glass of vodka a day. That's going to be the cure. And now I'm going to have to start drinking a little bit of vodka every day. And then everybody's going to say, that's the cure. I never thought that was going to be it. So it's a sod. We just don't know it yet. Whatever the cure is, we don't know it yet. No one's talking about smallpox anymore. Because there was also a Yid, right? Jonas Salk, I think. So, no? I don't, the polio was Jonas Salk. But nobody knew what it was. Millions of people were cripples. This is not a long time ago. And then all of a sudden, oh, this is the Mahalach. So the more it becomes, the more my separation becomes revealed to us. It's there. Another minute. Ravnei was saying that doesn't mean that every person is ready to study all the patsufim and spheres, you know, Kabbalistic things. No one's saying that. Of course, wasn't saying that either, that every single person is holding by the lexicon of Kabbalah. Ella ha'havrokas ha'reishiyas shomaisi b'reishas. Ketzad onam ha'sirich l'shayar la'atzim. L'mosh maran rav kuk kaisev. Ki teres ha'evolutsia. Ma'av sheres l'am l'shayar is teres ha'atzilus asher yisis v'tayru. Mushotim ha'oid. So in Kabbalah we have teres ha'atzilus, what ha'atzilus is in the four worlds. And rav kuk said that if you study the chachm of evolution, then you'll be able to have a pesach into understanding teres ha'atzilus. In other words, physical science now is a way, a Pesach into understanding Teres HaAtzilus. But I respectfully disagree with the Rav Avi Naron, and there are many tzaddikim who said that from an early age we should begin to learn the language of Pnimius HaTorah. We don't have to begin with studying science. Teres HaEvolutsia, Ma'av Sheres Long Lut, Pesach HaKorach Elokei Chai, Pesach Kol Eshtalshlus, Hespaschus, Evolution helps us. The science of evolution, not the science fiction, but the science of evolution helps us to understand that there's a living koach of Hashem. There's a koach Eloki chai b'sol kol ishtashlus. There's a living koach of Hashem that's within all of creation, that gives life to all that exists, that's pushing everything to become higher and greater. That's pushing everything to become more and more and higher and greater and stronger and smarter and holier. There's a force that's pushing everything towards greatness. Darwin called that evolution. In Kabbalah, it's called Hishtalshlus Ailumis Atzilus. It's called Avodas Hashem. That doesn't mean that one has to learn all the language. That's what Rav Avinair is saying. But the truth is that more of it needs to be learned. he's from a very conservative interpretation of Rav Kook's insistence on learning Kabbalah. Him and Rav Avner is from that world of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, who had a very conservative way of looking at his father's teachings. But when you read Rav Kook with an open mind, it's not as conservative as... Now, we understand why they're trying to cover up a lot of Rav Kook, and there are many things that I've spoken about from Rav Kook that are being intentionally hidden. But Rav Kook, I don't believe that Rav Kook was as conservative. And I believe that he wanted everybody to be learning Sistrei Torah in a very deep way and from a very early time in life, in a healthy way, of course, with proper teaching and rebellion and slowly and v'chul v'chul. But that's pretty apparent to me and many, many other people much bigger than me in Rav Kook's Torah, that it's clear from Rav Kook that he wanted something much, much more than what many of Rav Tzvi Yehuda's Talmidim were talking about. But that's not for me to solve. But let's just read one more sentence. I know that it's past the time. We start a little bit late. Rav Kook is saying that because of science, this has become the vocabulary of the multitudes. People are talking about ayin. And that gives life. From that, there's so much life that's being given that now many people are searching for a deeper meaning to life, not materialism, something deeper to life. They're making all kinds of mistakes, but there's something deeper. There's an ayin, and everybody's looking for the ayin. Some have to go to the Himalayas looking for ayin. But we have the schus to be able to just sit down and to open up the Siddur and to open up a Chumash and a Gemara. But the world is looking for ayin. It's looking for ayin. Okay, Chevra, to be continued. I want to wish each and every one of you a lechtig in Shabbos, a beautiful Shabbos. Pashas Shlach Lecha. Hashem should help us not to make the mistake of the Meraglim. We should see only good things in each other and in Eretz Yisrael. And we should believe that Mashiach is mamish. Hinei ze'oymed acha kasleinu. The Mashiach is mamish here. Is mamish here. And we should be zeichet to go together back to Eretz Yisrael and to see Tov Haaretz ma'oid ma'oid. How beautiful Eretz Yisrael is and Yerushalayim is, and how beautiful Am Yisrael is. The Gula Shavah Amitis from Heavy Amen.